Okay, so as Ellie notes, yes, the Gemaras don't make sense. So we had seen two Gemaras, right? Again, the first Gemara we'd seen, which was Kof Chafayim Ubet Kof Chafayim Aleph, in the context of Micha, it says that Bechor can protest and therefore never inherit. And the Rashbam justifies that by saying that if we divide the possible inheritance times between moment one, which is the death of the parent in this case, moment three, which is the division of the property, moment two, which is when someone declares that he wants to take his property. So Rashbam says, what we learn from this Gemara is that the critical moment is number two for a Bechor, right? Only for Bechor. And therefore, if the Bechor said, I want to divide now, so at that point he starts to acquire the produce that emerges, let's say, from the trees that he inherited in a double, right? Double? Because then he owns it. That seems to explicitly contradict Gemara number two, where we have the machlokas of what happens if a Bechor is mivater. He waives his rights to his double portion. You have the machlokas of Rav Papa and Rav Papi, whether that rejection takes place, that relinquishing of rights is only on the specific piece of property that he relates to, or on the entirety of the property, which the Gemara hangs on well, it explains one of the shittot, namely, as the Rashbam understands, that the reason you would say that it's immediate is because matana kari rachmana, and even though Yerusha, regular inheritance, you come into ownership of it when? Let's just review it. At the division of property, since the Bechor's gift is defined as a matana, therefore it isn't a part of the state in the same way, rather it's a direct gift to the Bechor, and that gift apparently, according to the Shita, takes place at death. And since it takes place at the death of the father, at that moment, if he relinquishes the rights to anything, he relinquishes the rights to everything. By implication, however, Rav Papi, who says that it's not true, that he's only, Rav Papa, who says he's Mavater Botasa Death, you would say that what moment is critical for the Gemara? Moment three, division of property, and that's why only while he's dividing up the property can he waive his rights, but it has no implications on anything else. Yes? And the problem, as we noted, is that this seems to be in direct contradiction to Gemara number one, where the critical moment was when he decides he wants to own it, not the division of property, not death. And even if you want to say, well, if he doesn't protest it, then it's division, that still would contradict the Gemara, which says that it's about the time of death, which is what you find in the and as we noted, this notion that the Yerusha might have a unique status, be Matana, not really Yerusha, we found very oddly in the Gemara in Bechorot, in the discussing the possibility that Yerusha HaBechor does not return in Yovel if you hold that Matana is not Chozer, but Mecher is Chozer. Right, or alternatively, the position of Rabbi Lazar, who actually says that because Matanah are Chozer, the Bechor is Chozer, right? Because Matanah Kari Rachmana, right? Which again seems to be very odd in terms of its definition, where it's not really Yerusha, it's something else, right? That's where we left off. Yes, Ellie.
So, first of all, just because this person waived his right to one of you,
right, so obviously, Ellie, you could have just had a much more localized question here, which is, why does the Gemara take it as a given that the guy's intent was to waive his rights to the entire inheritance? Right, it seems to be that the Gemara is just taking it as a given that by waiving his rights to the double portion in a particular field, he means that he wants to waive his rights in everything. The only question is whether he already is able to do that. Right, you could have, in theory, had a much more localized dispute, which was, is that what he means? Even if you think he has the ability to do that, the legal authority to do that, maybe that's not what he meant.
Right.
Correct. 100%. You could have done that. The Gemara, either the Gemara assumes it's definitely what he means, or the Gemara is saying it's a case in which he means that. Right? I mean, take the solution that you want.
Mm-hmm. Also, Rukavi never states specifically that it's when the father dies, gets the estate. The only thing he says about it is he has legal rights to get working before the estate divided. So is it possible that he holds that it's still before the estate divided, but there's some blood that's protest?
So again, you could sort of, you know, do that, right? That has to be, right, you could read it in, right? The Gemara brings no indication, but you're right. If you wanted to just make a new Kimta, you could just say, aha, it must be a case based on the first Gemara that he had already declared his desire to take the property, right? If you wanted to do that, you could, right? It doesn't seem to be the Gemara doesn't bring it up, but you're right, you could, right? You could come up with a new Kimta like that if you wanted. Okay, let's complicate it just a little bit more. I don't like that we lost the day of Shira, but whatever. Yeah, I get it. Rockets, I got it. Understand. You know, I remember once, it was 2000 and 14, I guess. The last time we had like a lot of rockets. So we went to, I was in the Kol and Gush, and we were going back to America for the summer. And we had planned to go to Shabbos to Sharon. So we booked a train ticket from New York to Boston. And it's already expensive. Amtrak is expensive as it is. So we booked the ticket, but we didn't book the insurance. Because we're like, what's going to happen, right? What's going to happen? But the flight got canceled because of rockets. There was only one day where they did it, but because they canceled all the flights on that one day, so it took several days for them to get everybody else on flights. So it took 5 days, so we missed that job because it ended up being the next week. And of course, I looked at it, and had I bought the insurance policy, right? One of the things in the insurance policy is war. And I'd read it before and saying, that's a joke. When am I ever going to miss a train to Boston because of war? And it turned out I missed a train to Boston because of, I guess it's arguably a war or a military,
It wasn't called.
Correct. A military action. But, so I lost my money because I did not buy the war insurance. I learned my lesson. If you live in the Middle East, always buy war insurance. Of course, then you have to argue that it's actually a war, and they would have had to quibble. Probably wouldn't be worth it. Yeah. Because all the others were military actions. I don't know what the difference is. I have no idea.
I think Israel might declare an official war.
I don't know.
When did they do the grand invasion?
I don't know. Me? What inside information do I have exactly? I don't know. I know a lot of my friends were called up to Shmona, and they went in already now, today, yesterday. What? Like Miluim.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be ready for war. What that means when they're going in, I have no idea. Or a lot of times it's just in preparation, just in case. They do that every time because you have to be ready. You don't want people to try to invade from Gaza and everyone be home. It doesn't mean you're going to go in. You do everything in your ability to avoid a situation like that. But really wasn't the point. The point was that was why we missed here yesterday, because you were all tired because rockets.
Yeah, honestly, it would be interesting to see what happened in there because they target something in the Eilat area, mix.
That's what happens when they target my area. Is that they like if they aim for like Efrat, they inevitably hit Beit Lechem. They just blow something up in Beit Lechem inevitably, which is probably why we don't get many sirens because it's really not like it's not worth it.
And apparently the barrage we got last night was supposed to go through Shalim, and they just really missed.
Okay. I don't know. I was asleep, and we didn't have any sirens.
Yeah, I wish I was asleep.
Well, anyways. I'm sorry if I'm being glib, but honestly, it's like it's just one of those mechanisms you just deal with in this side of the world, you know.
and like you deal with it, but it's just a case.
You got the real Israel experience. You got Rocket. Woohoo! Now you just need like, I don't know, what else? What have you checked? Oh, have you haggled in the shuk?
No.
You guys, no? Okay, no Israel experience. You haven't haggled at that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's usually what happens to me. I can't do the haggling thing. I just get ripped off. That's the other Israel. The Israel Torah experience is to be ripped off. The Israel experience is to fight. They just expect you to do it. It's really... Anyway. Okay. So the Gemara HaKuf Chav Dalet says what? So... the Gemara HaKuf Chav Dalet quotes the position of Rebbe. Did I actually give you the whole line? I guess I did. No. So two lines from the top. Money, Rebbe, he. Who is this Rebbe? Titania? And I don't want to get into the whole case here, but Ain, you know, as I'm giving shear, like the red, you know, I see where all the rockets are falling. From what?
Great.
Yes, I know. I hate this app, but I have it anyways.
What app is it?
Red Alert.
Which Red Alert?
It's the one called Red Alert. That's the name of the app. I don't know. This one's just annoying. I don't know. So the Gemara says, "Ein bechor no tel pishnayim b'shevach sheshavchu nechasim la'achar mitat avihen." Karaza. A bechor doesn't take double in the that which accrues after the death of the father. Rebbe Omer Ani, that's a little bit confusing, but Rebbe says, I say, B'chor no tel pishnayim v'shevach sheshavach nechasim la'achar mitat avihen. I hold that if produce grows, right, accrues after the death of the father, he does get it. Avolo v'shevach shehishbichu yitomim la'achar mitat avihen. But not in, they don't get from things that the Yorshim put effort in, meaning if you have trees that basically
just grow,
so then the Bechor does get double. But if you had a field which was cultivated by the brothers, so then he does not get double. Shtarchov, what about a loan document? Beit Hagadi, it's a lot. Shtarchov, Bechor Notel Pishnayim, a loan, right, if you have a document that there's a deed to a loan to the father, he does take double. Yotza Alein Shtarchov, if the estate owes money, Bechor Notain Pishnayim, he gives double. V'amar Eini Notain V'Eini Notel, and if he says, I don't want to give double, I don't want to take double, Rashai, he's allowed to do that. My time of the Rabbanon, why? Amar Kra, Lotet Lo Pishnayim, Matana Kari Rachmana, it is a gift. Ma Matana Adamatya Li Yadei, Avchelek Bechora Adamatya Li Yadei. So Chachamim say, because it is a gift, and therefore it is only his once it enters his hands. Rebbe Amar, Amar Kra, Pishnayim, Makash Chelek Bechora, Lechelek Pashut. Machelek Pashut, Afagav Delo Mati Yadei, Afchelek Bechora, Afagav Delo Mati Yadei. It's like Bechora, and therefore he only gets it once it comes to, he has rights to it even before it comes to his hand. Now, Verabana nami aktiv pishnayim. Doesn't it also say pishnayim? Ahula mitzvah leilacha echa metzva. That's how you get it in one border. Rabbi nami aktiv latetlo. Hahusham amre any notes in Rashai. That's to tell you that if he says I don't want it, he's allowed to. Now what's the problem with this Gemara? This Gemara is even stranger because the Gemara here has a machoket. Rebbe holds that the nature of Yerusha Bechor is Yerusha. right? It's like the chelek ha-pashut. It's defined as Yerusha and not as a matana. What do the Chachamim hold? That is matana kari rachmana. But how does that express itself in this Gemara? Remember, in the previous Gemara, we had seen that if it's matana kari rachmana, then what does that mean? When does he inherit it? No, number one. In this one, which is earlier, Yerusha or matana?
Yerusha.
Right? So in the previous Gemara, if it, because of matana kari rachmana, he has rights to it from death. Right? And therefore, if he waives his rights to it, he gets it immediately. In this Gemara, it flips. Matana kari rachmana. Right, Yerusha kari rachmana means that he has it earlier. Matana kari rachmana means he has it later. Yes? Is that not a fair read of this Gemara? Am I not right? Right? And therefore, what are the nafkaminas? Again, what are the nafkaminas? So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? That if you hold matana, then what? So one nafkamina is, do you get the shevach, right, sheshbichu? Right, do you get the shevach? If you hold that it's matana kari rachmana, then you don't. And if you call it Yerusha, you do, because Yerusha gives you rights. Right? From the onset, not later, right? That's one nafkamina. The second one is that what? The other issue here is waiving rights so that you don't have to pay the loan. Now, according to this, which gives you more rights to waive, if you call it which one? Meaning, so in this case, matana kari rachmana allows you to more easily waive it, right? If it's Yerusha, you have less ability to waive it because you already had rights in it earlier, right? If it's matana, you can prevent yourself from ever getting rights.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So what we end up having is a complete and total mess. Right? Yeah. Reversal, sure. Or mess. Right? The word in very formal language here is we have a mess. Right? We have a mess. I remember once I was in a shul by my parents where the rabbi of that minyan had born in America but has a very, very heavy European accent. He's like, you know, which is interesting. He like grew up here, like went to like Hasidic schools and whatever.
In
America. And he there rather, yeah. And he it's like the dreidel. But he was talking about the parsha in which Miriam dies, and he kept talking about how it's shait and pusik, Miriam was a mess. And I'm like, Miriam is a mess? Miriam is a mess. It took me like 10 minutes to figure out, Miriam is dead. Oh, it's Titan Buzik that Miriam was dead. I got it. Was a mate. I got it. But yeah, no, here it's a mess, not a mate. Or a mate, but a mess.
Right.
Yeah.
Who owns the property for that?
The estate.
That's not a person.
Correct.
So all of these are non-entities?
Maybe.
Yeah,
this is one of the key sugyos that folks can look to when they're trying to figure out, can halacha recognize a corporation, which is a non... What do you think? This is one of the, right? This is one of the examples of seeming of corporate, like corporate ownership. Yeah, the estate. No, it's not. No, conclusive. No,
Papa. That's really cool.
First of all, it's a machloket even on corporations in general, right? Like in modern corporations, it's not an open and shut case at all. It's a machlokes aposkim. Right, Rav Moshe has tshuvas on it, Mishael Jisru has tshuvas on it, but the Ragid Sefer famously held that it was a entity. He gets all metaphysical. It's a person who has surah but no chomer. It's surah but no chomer, right? It has form but no matter. Either you're pondering the Kabbalah here or you did not sleep properly because of rockets or whatever. Yes. Yes. But what we have here yet again is that, right, we seem to have a reversal. You're right. Right? So here, matana means that you get it later rather than earlier than Yerusha, right? So the Gemara, A, has a machloket about whether or not Yerushat Bechor is unique. Right? Rebbe clearly holds it's not unique. Yerushat Bechor is compared to regular Yerusha, as all the halacha of normal Yerusha. The Chachamim holds matana ikari yachmana, but here that's a reason that you get rights in it later rather than the Gemara in Kuf Chavav, where it's a reason that you get rights earlier, because here it means that you, right, because there it allowed you to waive rights earlier. Here it's saying, right, that's what allows you, right, allows you to waive rights at all, right? Things get very, very confusing when you try to put together, right? So again, you have a machloket about whether it's unique or not unique. You have a machloket, and then you seem to have all this tension of, is it moment one, moment two, moment three? Does matana make you have it earlier? Does matana make you have it later? Right? Where the Gemara there thinks it makes you have it earlier. Here it means that you have it later. Right? Yes? Confused yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Right? So you've noticed that, right, the Gemara clearly is asking the question fundamentally, which is, and if so, to what extent is Yerushat Bechor unique? But the question of what it would mean for it to be unique and in what direction that would take us, the Gemara leaves pretty unclear. And that's why all the Rishonim turn to all these Gemaras and struggle mightily to put all the pieces together. So, anyone want to try? Anyone want to try to put all the pieces together? So we have on Kuf Chav Dalet, we have an explicit machlokes whether the status of Yerusha Bechor is like regular Yerusha or is a matana or a gift, right? And therefore unique, right? This seems to also be part of the machlokin Bechorot about the Yovel case, right? The Gemara invokes this elsewhere in the Gemara. However, in the Gemara in Kuf Chav Dalet, the matana shita is invoked to say that you have rights to it only later, right? Meaning, because you can waive your rights, you don't get it automatically on death, that would be Yerusha, and therefore you can waive your rights to the land in order to avoid paying double debts, right? But the Gemara in Kuf Chav Dalet said literally the opposite, that if you hold matana kari yachmana, then you have the rights to waive it at death, and therefore waiving your rights in one field might make you might be interpreted as waiving your rights in the entire property only because matana kari yachmana. So the Gemara on Kuf Chav Vav says that matana kari yachmana means that you inherited it immediately, as opposed to here matana kari yachmana means that you don't yet own it and therefore you can still waive your rights and avoid incurring the debt, right? And plus, we had the machloket, right, between the top of Kuf Chav Hei Amibet to the top of Kuf Chav Vav and Kuf Chav Vav at the bottom, right, to Kuf Chav Vav Amibet, as to whether the inheritance is at moment one, two, or three, right? Where you had in moment Gemara at the top said moment two, meaning when he states his intentions to get it, and the Gemara at the bottom, which argues between moment one and three, which, right? And again, right there, it seems to be that matana means earlier, I mean moment one, meaning death, whereas Kuf Chav Dalet, matana pushes it later, right? Right? Because Yerusha, you actually have rights to at the beginning, and that's why you can neither avoid debt, right? You avoid the debts of your father, right? You can't avoid inheriting in order to avoid debt, but if it's matana, you can, right? Whereas on Kuf Chav Vav, Matana Dafka pushed it earlier, and that's why if you waived your right in one field, you already waived it in the entire property, as opposed to Yerusha, where the critical moment would have been division of property, right? So on Kuf Chav Dalid, not only do you have a machloket about whether to define it as Matana or Yerusha, but Yerusha gives it to you earlier than Matana, where on Kuf Chav Vav, you have a machloket about whether it's Matana or not, and Matana makes it earlier rather than later, right? So everything is just topsy-turvy.
Wait, so I don't understand, what is the reason why...
I don't know. I'm just saying the Gemara on Kuf Chav. That's what I'm asking you. Right, the Gemara on Kuf Chav Dalid, when talking about whether you can avoid incurring debt by avoiding inheritance, says, of course, a Yorish cannot do that because they inherit earlier, seemingly at the moment of death, right? But they can inherit, but Bechor, who only gets it later, can avoid it because Matana pushes it later, which is the exact opposite of what you had in Kol Chav Dalid, right? In the right where the Gemara said the question of when whether a Bechor automatically relinquishes rights in the entire field just because he relinquishes the rights in one field comes down to whether you think he gets it at the time of Yerusha, which is at the end, or at death, which is dependent on Matana. So Matana in Kol Chav Vav defines Yerusha at the moment of death, right, which is before Yerusha.
Yes.
And on Kuf Chav Dalid is the opposite, where Yerusha is from the time of death, and therefore a regular Yorish cannot avoid inheritance to avoid debt, and a Bechor can.
Because they're both talking about debt. Both.
Yes, right, which makes it only worse. Well, not debt, but relinquishing rights in order to avoid something.
Right. So there's almost a big difference.
Right, meaning you're relinquishing rights in one case, which avoids debt, and the other one you're just relinquishing rights. Yeah, you're relinquishing rights in both cases, one to avoid debt, one not. Right? Okay, so I why does it make a difference, right? In Kuf Chav Dalid, you're relinquishing rights to avoid incurring debt, and that, the Gemara says, is later, right? As opposed to in Kuf Chav Vav, where you are relinquishing rights, and therefore you can relinquish rights from the moment of death, because you have rights in the moment of death, if you hold Matana Kari Yechmana, but a regular Yorish can't, because he gets it later. Right, it's the exact opposite.
Right, so I'm saying, what's the point of...
That's what I'm asking you.
No, but I'm saying, there has to be obviously a difference.
Of course there has to be a difference. You can't just say that the Gemara is chaos, and it makes no sense. I'm asking you what the difference is. Yeah, but it's not just that the machlokes between the figures. Matana is being used in opposite ways. Right? Oh, it's a meta machloket. Everyone agrees it's a machloket. Not only is it a machloket whether it's unique, but it's a machloket in opposite ways of what uniqueness does. It could be, right? You could just say there's 10 million machloket in the sugya, and yes, you have every sheet on the sugya. That matana, that Yerusha, the Bechor is a matana, which means they get it at debt. Yerusha Bechor is matana, which means you get it only when you take it. Yerusha Bechor is Yerusha, and therefore you get it at death, or Yerusha Abachor is Yerusha, and therefore you only get it in division, right? We could just say that, yes, they're arguing about terms, they're arguing about implications, we could do that, but that's complete chaos, right?
Silly.
You could do that.
Who's
they? Don't you the pro... Which Gemara?
Okay, so
there are four Gemaras in play. Kuf Chav Dalid, the question is, can... two questions. When does the Bechor start to get rights to the Shevach? Chachamim say he has no rights to Shevach because it's Matana, and therefore, since the Shevach happens at the, right, because it's Matana, he has no rights to Shevach.
Until
he only gets rights to Shevach once he claims, right, meaning, once the father dies, he has no rights until he then acquires it, right? So his rights are limited by the notion that it's Matana, because Yerusha takes place at death, and therefore the other heirs have rights to the property starting at death. He doesn't until he gets it, and therefore he has no rights to anything that accrued from death until he gets it. Matana happens later. If you hold it's Yerusha, then it happens earlier, and therefore he does have rights. Point two that comes out of that is, can he waive his rights to avoid debt? The Chachamim say, yes, he can, because since he has no rights yet, he can prevent himself from ever getting rights, and therefore he can avoid getting rights, thereby avoiding getting debt. Rebbe says, no, he has right, Yerusha is earlier, and therefore he already has right in the Yerusha, and therefore he can no longer avoid the rights to avoid debt. Well, however, what? Yes.
So where
would that be?
The estate.
I.e. all the Yerushim. Equally.
Okay. And
meaning he won't pay double, he'll pay like any other Yerush. Yes, that's what it is explicitly asking. Where Matana is not part of Yerusha. By calling it Matana, the Gemara says, you're calling it not Yerusha.
And Yerusha we hold starts when the father dies.
Well, on Kof Kof Dalet we do. On Kof Kof Vav we say the opposite.
Well, we
no. And on Kof Kof Dalet they don't.
On Kof Kof Dalet they say Yerusha starts when the
father dies. Yes.
And
Matana starts
when
you get it. Yes, which is the opposite of what says Gokhov. Right? Right, because the Gemara Gokhov says if you want to waive rights, you can only waive rights to that which you own already. If you hold Matana, that means you have the rights from debt. But if you hold Yerusha, you only get rights when you divide it. Which is the opposite of what it says in Gokhov Dalet. Yeah, good. Someone want to help me?
So,
someone want to help me? You can ask Ray Ginsburg, it's impossible.
Okay,
he didn't hear me. Yes.
Okay.
Of course there has to be a difference. What is the difference? That's what I'm asking you. Someone want to start. Someone want to start throwing out possible differences and then we'll see. Why is that different? He wants to avoid it. He wants to avoid, right? Why? Well, why is that relevant? You have to tell me why that's relevant. Doesn't this highlight? So you have an agenda on Kof Kof. What do you mean? You have an agenda on Kof Kof Vav also. Kof Kof Vav, you want to waive your rights to the land entirely. Why is that different? Okay. There are differences, there is differences between the cases, but I want you to tell me why they're relevant. And what the differences are, why they're relevant. What do you think, Yaakov? You're like, I don't know what to think. This thing is impossible. Yes. Yeah. I'm tired and this thing is impossible. Yeah, I got it.
Right.
Yeah, this is not a good week to be doing this subject.
Yeah. If I had known in advance, I would have done the question of leaving Israel in times of war this week rather than next week. But we already started this thing, so that's going to have to wait till next week. I'm sorry. Right. Hopefully by that point it'll be moot, but it could also be more relevant because we could be in a full-out war. So I don't know yet. Okay, so maybe it was serendipitous that I avoided it, or maybe it was wrong that I avoided it. I don't know. Okay, I don't know yet.
Also,
despite the fact that Ellie thinks that I have like inside information on whether or not we're going to war, right?
Yeah, really. Who does he think you are? Steve Joffrey?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or Bernie, or Yitzhak. Yeah.
So I think this is one possibility that in Kofa's love, we hold them as kind of earlier. That's only according to our father. It's not according to our
father. Yes, but again, that doesn't help me because the Gemara there, the question is that the assumption that Matana makes it come earlier. You're right that it's only according to one Shita, but the assumption of whether Matana is earlier or later is reversed. And that's a weird thing to argue about. Correct. And Kof Kof Vav, they seem to argue whether it's Matana, but everyone agrees Matana would come earlier. Here, they're arguing whether it's Matana, but everyone agrees Matana comes later.
Right.
That's weird. Right? Yeah. Yes, Rami.
Okay, so
see, Rami should already see one path to answering this, because it's Rami's favorite, apparently favorite thing in this entire sugya. But I'm going to let Rami chew on what I just said and see if he can start to see light.
Oh, okay.
No, it was what you said right before. Not that. What you said just like 10 minutes ago. There's something you said 10 minutes ago that you should have noticed is I'm playing a bit fast and loose with in these studios.
Did I say something 10 minutes ago?
Yes. Maybe it's 20 minutes ago. I don't know. We can check the recording.
The tape.
Wait, no, I want Rami to think.
I don't remember what I said.
What have you said today? Someone else remind Rami, what did he say today? What? Rami's eyes opened and just glowed when he realized what?
Oh,
good. So Rami noted that, we learned from our sugya that...
There's
a corporate entity. Good. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to want you to build on that for a second. And let me ask you the question. Is the question being asked in the two Gemaras exactly identical?
Oh, okay. So one...
What is the relevant... Well, let me put it differently. On Kof Kof Dalet, what is the relevant question as to who incurs debt? Meaning, did the Bechor manage to remove himself from the estate or not? But who is the debt on?
The estate.
The estate. So what are we contrasting? When does the estate inherit?
Versus what?
When the individual inherits. Right?
Okay.
Right? And what is the Gemara's conclusion there? That the estate, Yerushat of the estate, takes place when?
Earlier.
At death. Right? That's the earliest thing. And the Yerusha of any individual is?
Later.
So maybe wait, why is that relevant? Why is that important in that subject? Because?
The estate is not the people.
Meaning the estate is not the people. Meaning, the question is, can the Bechor remove himself from the estate? Right? Can he remove himself from the estate? Because the estate owes money, and therefore, before the estate is divided, you take the debt off the top. And the only question is whether the Bechor can choose to just be part of the estate and not unique, and therefore inherit like everybody else, and therefore an equal percentage of his property will be given to the debt, or does he have to, right? But it's a question of whether the Bechor can successfully escape the estate, right? But you're contrasting the Yerusha of the Bechor with the Yerusha of the estate, not the Yerusha of brothers, right? Not brothers as in individual brothers, but the estate. What's the, on Kuf Chavav, we're literally doing the exact opposite. Because what's the question on Kuf Chavav?
It's not all about corporate.
Right? It's about when does he get individual rights. Right? Not, right? Because the individual Yorish gets rights when? When they choose to divide the estate.
Yeah.
And the question is, does the Bechor only get his rights personally when they divide the estate, or does he have rights, personal rights, before, at death, right? So they're actually not asking the same question, because on Kof Chavav, they're asking, when are you recognized as an individual heir, rather than a member of the estate, right? And when does the individual heir get rights, only at division of property? But the relevant question of Kof Chav Dalet is, when does the estate inherit? And can you vacate your rights as a member of the estate? Right? Or rather, vacate your rights as a unique member of the estate and return to being just part of the estate? Right? Those are very different questions, because you could very plausibly say that the estate inherits as soon as the father dies. But the individual Yorshim only become owners of the property when there's actually division. Right? Right? And therefore, in that sense, Yerusha means very different things. One is, when does the corporate entity known as the estate take over from the father? And the second question is, when do the Yorshim become known not as members, heirs to the estate, but owners of their individualized property, The answer to those questions are different. Right? So even though you're contrasting Matana and Yerusha in both cases, you're actually contrasting individual, right? In one place you're contrasting when does the Bechor get individual rights before or after his brothers. And the other one you're saying, when does he get rights compared to the estate? And very simply, the first, right, the estate as a whole comes into formation before the individual brothers become owners of the property, but Bechor might be somewhere in the middle, and therefore before one and after the other. You didn't realize that what you said was brilliant, Rami. Right, and therefore you didn't realize that that might be irrelevant. So this may be part of the solution, right? Is this insight? Right? There may be other solutions, right? But this is definitely one of the important factors to keep in mind, is that the Gemaras aren't talking about the same thing. Right? Again, the Gemara in Kuf Chav Dalet, the issue is, does he have the ability to return to the estate and never become unique? Right? As opposed to on Kuf Chav Vav, where the question is, right, contrasting his ability with other brothers, not the estate, but other brothers, right? So that's definitely one factor that should be relevant. What else might be?
The fact that one is talking about debt, the other one is.
So maybe, as Ellie said, maybe debt is unique, right? Maybe. In what way, though? It's possible, but in what way might it be unique?
Well, I mean, talking about a way that when it's about brothers, and we're talking about whether or not.
Right, so why is it different? Right, you're right, it might be different. It might be that the type of ownership that a Bechor has are different depending on context, right? That's another methodological way of doing it, right? You're picking up that the difference is debt. That may be relevant. You haven't explained to me why it's relevant, but it might be relevant.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that
out. Okay, good. But that's definitely another factor. Good. Think about it, but what else might be relevant here? Okay.
Maybe it's because when debt is an issue, like when debt's actually present, like when the father dies and leaves behind debt, that's when they want the son to pay it back, so they give it to Yerusha earlier, and they make a ton of food later, right?
And therefore,
it makes the son have to pay the debt. Well, in the other case, the estate is supposed to be over earlier, and give him the gift earlier.
Okay, so you want to say we just have to figure out like what?
Because the estate basically doesn't want to be debt. So if in a case when there is debt, they make it debt, the son keeps ownership.
So you're saying right that what we need to do is figure out how does the right desires of the people who own the estate or the estate as a corporate entity, how does that relate to? Okay, we could definitely go in that direction. Yeah. Yes, Rami.
Inherit debt.
Of course, heirs inherit debt. No, because it inheres in the estate.
Why not?
Because it inheres in the estate. It inheres in the estate.
So the debt, quote unquote, stays on the estate.
It's paid from the estate. Yeah.
But I mean, the son is a replacement for his father.
Correct, but there's no estate to pay it off, then.
Okay, I
would hope there's something going on here. That much I agree with you, Rami, yeah?
It seems like to be very, almost too, I would say, like, contrary to, like, a natural law that you want to say, I guess it would make sense to just say consistently that son inherit everything, or they say they don't. But it's peculiar to say that, like, they inherit, but they have to say all the debt. But, like, they don't the debt, if there's not enough to pay off debt, then they don't have to pay off the rest of the remaining debt. So I'm wondering if there's like a dispute about what mechanism of debt.
Possibly, right? Again, it could be that there is some unique mechanism about debt that will explain it. Okay, fine. We don't have that much time, but let's at least do one of the shita, right? I gave you basically three approaches of how to deal with this. Let's take one up today, okay? Look at the Yad Ramah. Yad Ramah in 5. Amar of Ashi, b'chor, shenot al chelek apasher b'miksan nechasem velo micha, Viter chelek v'choratav. Right, Rav Ashi had quoted the position that a bechor who takes an equal portion to the other brothers and not double, he has relinquished his right to his bechor. And then the Gemara had said, Viter, my Viter, what did he relinquish? Rav Papi Amru Shmei Derava, Viter b'chol nechasem kulan. So Rav Papi had said he relinquished his rights in all the property. Kesavar yesh lo bechor, Kodem Chaluka. Why? So he says, right, well, again, why do you say he loses his rights in the whole property? Because you hold that unlike a regular Bechor, when does he come to own the property? Before division. Yes? That was no disagreement so far. This is all the Gemara, right?
Yes.
Klomar. What does that mean? Yesh lo Bechor zchut b'chelek b'chorah kodem Chaluka. He has rights in his bechorah. The ibar lezavune lechalukei laachrina lemitvah b'matana kodem chaluka reza machor v'natum. Meaning, he's allowed to sell his rights before. Hilkach legabe chaluka. There, when it comes to division, nami kaven devitar b'miktav goliadaitet bechulu nami viter. Vikihechi dematil levuni sharav avgav lomatil yote matinami lemimchal legabe achim. Since he has the right to sell, he has the rights to waive. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rav Amar Viter Bota Sadeh. Rav Papa says he only gave up rights in that field. Ksavar ein lo b'chor kodem chalukah. He says b'chor doesn't have rights before division. Umay da'ati liyadi achil. And therefore, the only thing he can forgive is that which he already owns. Idach lo achil. He can't forgive his rights to anything else. Akati lizleis chute b'gaveh. Lizabune v'lo lemim chile. Because he can neither sell nor waive other rights. V'davka delo micha. Avo micha afilo b'miktzat nami lo achil. He says, first of all, that's only if he doesn't protest. But if he protests, he isn't mochel. Meaning what? So this is just a technical point, going back to Ellie's point before, which is, what if he says, I only meant to waive rights in one field? So then what, Ellie? Then he only waived rights in one field, according to everybody. Good. V'ho delo ishtenu, kigon, anavim, v'zrim, zetim, maskum. Fine. And then he says in the last line, biram, sarech at lemeida. You have to know. Dele'inyon mecher umatana ad kan lo pligi elo bechelek v'chora dematana kari rachmana. Right, this is only for the chelek b'chora because it's called matana. Now, did you notice what the Yad Ramah doesn't tell you too much, but did you notice what his solution is here? No. Okay. So it's very simple. It might not solve everything, but he says you have to be very careful. When it comes to waiving rights, the relevant question is, do you have a right? When it comes to the question of debt, what matters?
Do you own it?
Right? So what does he say? What? Why? Because on Kukh Rav, the question is, does he have the ability to waive his rights to the field? All that he needs is a right.
He doesn't have to own it.
He doesn't have to own it yet, because it's a question of whether he's waiving rights. And he owns the right. He just doesn't own the property. But when it comes to owing money, what matters?
Whether or not he actually owns it.
Whether they already own the property, because you can only pay debt from things you own, not things you have rights to. And therefore, he's saying, matana kari achmana means that what? You get the right at death, meaning you get the rights at moment one, and therefore when it comes to waiving rights, if it's a matana, then your rights come at death. But for debt, what matters? When you own it. So matana means you have rights from death, but you only come to own it when it's divided. And therefore, you can waive your rights to the field, right? This is what Ellie was saying. Isn't about owing money. He says, yes. When it comes to waiving your rights, the question is, at what point do you get your rights? And the answer to that is death, matana kariyach mana. But because matana kariyach mana, when can you actually be obligated to pay your debt? Later, right? Because it's not enough to own rights, you have to own the estate. But who owns the estate at death? The estate. Which means that when it comes to waiving rights, the Bechor gets it before the other brothers. But when it comes to incurring debt, which requires not just rights, but requires ownership, when does he get it? Later than the other brothers. Right?
Okay. I'm not sure I agree that this is formulation of...
It's rights versus ownership. So he's saying, look, what happens at death? The estate gets ownership, and the Bechor gets
right.
What happens at division?
Before
the individual Yarshim get inheritance as heirs, meaning their inheritance is viewed as division of the estate. The Bechor gets it at division, but viewed as a present. L'may nafkamina. That when it comes to waiving rights, the Bechor has the right to waive earlier because he has a right, even though nobody else does, because the estate has all the ownership. But when it comes to debt, where what matters is ownership, right, until he chooses to take his gift, he can always choose to melt away into the estate. Right? So he can avoid ownership until later, but he can waive rights earlier. So according to the Yad Ramah, the answer is Matana Kari Rahmana means that he gets rights at death, but he only gets ownership at division. Was that complicated enough? Do you have a headache yet? Good. Think about it, because Rabbi Przanski is coming, so I think I'm going to stop and let you breathe.